to you. Here's our pastor.
Father, we thank you now. We glorify your name. Lord, we praise your name. You're worthy, God. We thank you for your ability to move mountains. We thank you, Lord, that you're able to give us miracles, and that even in the face of defeat, you can give us victory. You have given us victory. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for unmerited favor. But thank you, Lord, for the divine favor that you give us throughout this life. Father, we thank you, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, you sent Jesus Christ to die for us who were ungodly. And now that we're saved, God, we are the children of God, the sons of God, that we'll be led by the Spirit. And now, even though we're the sons of God, Father, the enemy still comes and attack us. The enemy still comes our way. But Father, we thank you. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in all things in Christ Jesus. Thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for the peace you give to us. We thank you for the joy that you give so that our joy may be full and that our joy may remain. Even in the midst of sad times, our joy still remains. After all that we've been through, we still have joy, Lord. Father, we thank you now. Lord, we magnify your name. Father, we thank you for this moment with you, this moment of worship, this moment that we take advantage to praise you, Lord God, and to lift you up, for you are worthy of all the praise. Father, for those that have been feeling out of place, those who have been feeling disconnected, Lord, let them connect this morning. In the name of Jesus. For those who are sad, Lord, lift them and give them joy. For those, Lord God, who are broken, Lord, heal them, Lord. For those who are confused, give peace to their troubled mind. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you now for those who are at odds with others. Lord God, we pray that you would give them the bond of peace and unity would come among them in their friendships and relationships and kinships. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you now. We love you, Lord. Father, we ask that you give us clarity of thought today and precision of speech. Let the heart of the hearer be fertile ground to implant a seed of the word, Lord God. And let the tablets of their hearts be written upon the word of faith, the word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, peace, and even prosperity and joy to those that hear and believe. Father, let them receive it with joy. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we're joining with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, the chant declare that you're holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, and your glory fills the earth. We thank you now. Each one of us, Lord God, have received something from you. Lord, I believe that you've touched us. I believe that you healed us. I believe that you delivered us. I believe that you've made us whole. You've blessed our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to use for a thought or tag a title and a sub. The first is, when you're down, God can lift you up. And the subtitle is, send me, I'll go. Amen. Amen. I hope that's what we'll be once the message is done. I hope that we all say, send me, I'll go. Amen. The seraphims reminded them that the earth is still full of his glory. The seraphims reminded them that in spite of what you're going through, God is still present and right here. Yes. That's what we fail to see. We say, where is God through the storm? We're like the disciples that were on the ship. The disciples said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish when the ship began to take on water? And they had to wake Jesus up. Some of us need to wake up ourselves. Come on and say amen. Some of us need to wake up ourselves and realize that if it had not been for the Lord on the ship, we'd already be gone. Right. Hallelujah. In the post of the door, look at this. He says that first he said the earth is what full of his what? Glory. The glory of the Lord. In other words, you ought to be able to see God in everything. We ought to be able to see God in whatever we're dealing with. Whatever we're going through, we should be able to see the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I found a way to see God. I found a way that whenever I go through trouble, I say, I know God is up to something. I know God has a way. I know that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to the called according to his purpose. I know it. Do anybody else know it other than me? Do anybody else know that if God is for us, who can be against us? Does anybody else know that God will make a way in spite of what way we are in right now? Do you know that God will give you peace in the midst of the storm? He'll give you joy in the midst of sorrow. Do you know it? When you're down, God can lift you up. Not only did he envision the person in the presence of God and what happened around the throne, but he encountered something. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This is the kabod. This is the Shekinah. This is the glory of God that he's envisioning. He said, look, I encountered something. I encountered when I saw the seraphim, when I saw not only the seraphim and the train of God, I began to encounter. It was not only a vision, but the post of the doors began to shake because of the praise and because of the adoration that went forth to God. What kind of praise do you have? Is your praise shaking up anything? Does your praise move anything? Look, does your praise even move you? Much less does it move God. You say you're praising God, but you don't feel no better. You say you love and you praise and you worshiping God. Ain't nothing changed. You're still in the same state. You say, I get tired of just lifting my hands because it ain't nothing happening. Maybe you ought to wave them the next time. He said the post of the door was moved at the voice of him that cried. What happened is when the seraphims begin to cry, the doorposts begin to shake. Because when you praise, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. But let me tell you what really happens. When the praises go up, the blesser himself. And when God is present, he shakes things. The earth begins to what? Quake. The earth is the footstool of God. And when God pats his feet at your praise, Lord help me today. He said that the door began to move at him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. In other words, now I can't see. And you know, that's good. Because the bad thing is that we come to church and we look at people. And now Isaiah said, I can't see nobody. You watch, you keep watching. We'll see what he sees in a minute. But he said, I can't see nobody else. All I see is the smoke, the glory of God. That's why when we come to church, we ain't got no business looking at everything else. We should be looking at God. If we can't see him, we should be looking for him. Oh, come on and say amen here. We should be looking for God. And when we look for God, we ought to be able to see the train of God, the smoke of God, the glory of God filling the temple. When the glory of God is present, then there is no devil present. Lord, help me today. That ought to make you want to praise God. That ought to make you want to lift him up. That ought to make you want to do something out of the ordinary, amen, to get God's presence here. Because I don't know about you, but I fight the devil seem like every minute or hour there's some kind of demonic force or activity that's in our lives. Come on and say amen. And so since there's a devil loose, I need to praise God to get his presence here, because then I don't see the devil and I don't see my haters either. Preach. Come on and say amen. When I look around, I don't see my haters. I don't see the devil. I ain't got time to see all of that stuff that you see. I'm just looking for God. And that person that telling you, well, you seen that at church. You seen how they acted. You seen this and you seen that. You see, when they telling you that, they need to be looking at God too. Oh, yeah, I don't know who you are, but you in here today. You don't need to be looking at everybody else and what's going on. And did you see how she looked? And look at what she got on. You don't need to be doing that. You need to be in the smoke. Can I get a few people that say, I want to be in the smoke, preacher. I don't want to be looking at everybody else. I want to be in the smoke. I want to be in the cloud of God's glory. I want to be in the place where I can't see what they're doing, but I'm only looking at what I'm doing. He had an encounter. He was in the smoke. Lord, help me today. And when you get in the smoke, you don't see other folks. You don't see all the other stuff. Look, the smoke made him forget about his uncle dead. Smoke made him forget about it. Look at what it did in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. What happened when you're in the smoke? When you get in God's presence, you stop looking at other people and you start looking at you. That's what we're supposed to do. We start looking at us. He had an encounter that made him examine himself. He began to check himself. He said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people with unclean lips, and mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He didn't say he seen his face, but he saw God. Come on and say amen. He said, woe is me. Anybody ever said, woe is me? In other words, Isaiah said, I know I'm about to die. Oh, come on and say, man, you know how it is when you have a loved one that died, you start thinking about heaven too. Preach. And Isaiah said, maybe I'm about to go because I'm seeing God. Oh, come on and say, man. But he said, woe is me. I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. In other words, Isaiah said, my mouth ain't a Bible. I've told some lies. I've said some filthy things. I've talked about some people. Come on and say, man, you in here. I've done some stuff and said some stuff that I shouldn't have. Jesus tells us that what goes in a man don't defile him, but what comes out of a man defiles him. In other words, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speak. When you start speaking evil, when you start saying stuff, you got to understand that means there's some stuff in your heart. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he says that when we got this stuff in our heart, it comes out through our mouth. That's why when somebody says something good about somebody and you know you hate them, you out of your mouth, you got to say something evil. You got to say, oh, they ain't no good. Don't let them fool you. You know how we do. And so we got to see here that what goes out of us defiles us. And Isaiah realized that I've been defiling myself and I don't have no business seeing what I'm seeing because I know I'm not right. But the good thing about God is that God knows we're not right either. But he still comes among us because he loves us. Oh, come on and say amen here. Oh, yeah, we need to understand that God, Isaiah could not see God. Oh, come on and say amen, until he went to church. When he went to church, he saw God. And then he saw the activities around the throne of God. And he said, I'm undone. I'm unclean. My lips are unclean. And not only am I unclean, but my homeboys, they are too. My people I associate with. Birds of a feather, what? The people I hang out with, guilt by association, the people I'm with, they're the same kind of people that I am. Because we get along with people that's like us because they do the same kind of stuff we do. Come on and say amen. Oh, but he says that today is a change coming in my life. Today something's different going to happen in my life. Are y'all still there? And he says that in verse number 5, verse number 6, he says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the with the tongs from the altar. Verse 6 lets us understand that encounter got even deeper when he began to see himself, when he began to confess what kind of person he was. Then God allowed a cleansing to come about. Amen. He said the seraphim, the fiery being, went and grabbed a coal from the altar. And he said in verse 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, this has touched thine lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin has been purged. What happened here is that Isaiah begin to have an encounter with God that changed his life. Because look at what happened. He says that they took the coal from the altar. Where do we get our deliverance? It's at the altar. He needed deliverance, so he didn't go to the altar, so the altar came to him. I wish I had somebody. Sometimes God, he looks at you and he realizes that you got too much pride to move, but God said, you know what? I'm going to bring it to you. And I'm thankful that we got that kind of God that won't let me just sit here and be unclean. I'm thankful that we got that kind of God that said, I know you can't do it yourself. I'm going to do it for you. When we were sinners and we were on our way to a burning hell, God said they can't save themselves. So Jesus came down through 39 prophets and 42 generations, and he died, he hung, bled, he died, and he rose on the third day, making sure that we were saved, because without that we could not be saved. Thankful that God came to us. He took a coal from the altar with the tongs. It was hot, and He cauterized the lips of Isaiah, the mouth of Isaiah. Why did he do that? Because that's where the issue was. That's where the problem was. If we tell the truth, our problem is our mouth. James even told us that the tongue is one powerful thing. He said that the tongue will set on fire the course of nature. He said if you can find a perfect man, you found a man who can tame his tongue. Somebody who know how to be quiet when they're supposed to. I wish I had somebody. He said that we got two ears and one mouth. Be swift to hear and be slow to speak. James said it, and we got to understand that Jesus said it, and we got to understand that Isaiah is telling us and showing us that his problem was his mouth, but God fixed his mouth. And you know how it is when we first come to God, the first thing we say, I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop cussing. I'm going to stop talking crazy. I'm going to stop all this crazy talk because we want to be right. And guess what? Our tongue, our language is wrong. God will change our language and the way we talk, because many of us, we talk so negative and we're not positive. We say all kind of wrong things, and it's because our mouth is not right. But thanks be to God. Let God cleanse your lips. You know how it is when you're down. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have none. You know how it is when you're down? This stuff that I'm going through seems like every time I turn around, the devil just keep knocking me down. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I can't see my way out. You know how we talk? When you're down, God will lift you. We talk all that negativity, but then God said, let me clean your mouth up. It's important for us to say the right things. Because the Bible says in Proverbs that life and death is in the power of the tongue. He said that you're snared by the words of your mouth. What is he saying? And what? I set a trap for my own self because of what I say. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. I set a trap for my own self because I don't know how to talk. Because I say the wrong things. Anybody with me today? I say the wrong stuff. When I keep saying I'm sick and tired, and guess what? You are sick and you're tired. When you say this got on my last nerve, now you can't take nothing else. Oh, come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, we say all kinds of stuff that mess up our path because we're negative. But Isaiah's mouth was cleansed. He says, this has touched thy lips and thine iniquity. Look, not only does God deal with what he said, but he deals with what's down on the inside. Iniquity is a hidden guilt. Iniquity is beneath the surface. That's why when the Bible says that he was bruised for our iniquity, a bruise is under the skin, right? And so what Jesus did, he was bruised for our iniquity. He was bruised for the things that are underneath this flesh, the hidden things that we don't tell nobody, the mess that we know we got going on the inside of us that we're ashamed to talk about, ashamed to confess. Come on and say, man. Oh, yeah, he said and thy iniquity has been taken away. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin has been purged. In other words, I've cleaned you up and I've cleaned your mouth up so that you'll be able to do what I want you to do. And he says in verse number 8, after he come to church, going somewhere, after he had been in the temple and saw the Lord, after he confessed and was converted, after he was cleaned up, verse 8 says, I heard the voice. You can't hear God till you get it right. You can't hear God till your mouth is right. You can't hear God till your heart is right. You can't hear God till you start seeking God. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He tells us that we need, he said that he'll reward us that diligently what? Seek him. We need to seek the Lord. And so, in other words, now that he had had, and he had envisioned this, he had encountered, and he was enlightened by what he saw, but he now is enlisted. Lord, help me. Y'all with me? He says in verse number 8, he says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Look at what God did here. God cleaned him up and he enlisted him in the army of the Lord. When I look at what Isaiah did, God showed him himself. And then God showed him God, and then God showed Isaiah himself, and Isaiah now says, look, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. he began to be enlisted because now he's heard the voice of the Lord. All the time that he was going through, he didn't hear God's voice. All he knew is that I needed to go to church. All the time that he was going through, he didn't hear God's voice. All he knew is that he had trouble in his way and he had to cry sometime. All the things that he had been going through, he didn't hear God's voice. All he knew that my uncle now, the king, is dead. All that he knew was that that the kingdom is about to suffer because a great man is gone away. All the things that he had been going through, he didn't hear God's voice, but it's so important for us to hear God's voice. If you don't hear God's voice, I don't know how you'll make it. If you don't hear God's voice, whether it's through the preached word or the written word, I don't know how a person can make it. That's why I can't understand how an atheist can make it, because they can't hear God's voice. I imagine they wake up every day in a state of confusion, not knowing what the day might bring, because they don't hear God talking to them. But glory be to God, we serve a God that is gracious. We serve a God that is an on-time God. We serve a God that will that is not too far away, but he's as close as the mention of his name. We serve a God that's able to deliver us when we call on him. I believe that Isaiah went to church, and he went and he said, "Lord, have mercy on us." And he began to see the Lord. And when he saw God, he decided, "Lord, I'll do what you want me to do." When he heard God say, "Who shall we send?" Don't you know that was just a setup? God knew Isaiah's heart. God knew that Isaiah would say, "Send me, I'll go." Do you know that that's only a setup? Sometimes we hear God say something and he's waiting on you to respond, because God will give you what you need in order for you to complete the task that he's given you. Don't you know God is better than the military that we know? The U.S. has the greatest military in the world, and if they can equip their soldiers with the best, come on and say amen here, then don't you know that God equips us with the best? God makes sure that we have just what we need, but he tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Do I have anybody here that say, "I understand, preacher, that when Isaiah was down, he didn't have no hope, but when he saw the Lord, he said, Lord, I'm encouraged, and I believe I can run on and see what the end's gonna be." Do I have anybody here that say, "I know what the end's gonna be. The end's gonna be good, because I'm with God. It's all good because it's all God." Do I have anybody that say, "When you're down, then God can lift you up"? Do I have anybody here that says, "Send me, I'll go"? Why do Isaiah feel now that he can go? The reason why he feels like he can go is because he saw something that other people haven't saw yet. He saw something that other people needs to see. And see, when you see what God does, and you see who God is, and you see the power of God, it's time for you to tell other folks how good God is. It's time for you to tell people how powerful God is. Do I have any witnesses? Do you know that God is greater than any trouble you might face? Do you know that God is more powerful than any power that comes against you? Do you know that the enemy, even though he comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard? Do I have any church folks that say, "I'm a witness that he lifted me"? Oh, come on and say amen. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I realize he'll lift me up when everything seemed to be going downhill, and my only bright side is for me to see the Lord. When I lift up my head, I realize that he's the joy of my salvation. I realize that even though weeping endured for a night, that joy that it comes in the morning. Do I have any witnesses? Oh, come on and say hallelujah. Come on and shout yes. Anybody know that God is a good God? That God will give you victory in the time of trouble. When you go to war, you don't have to fight in the battle. You know the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. So don't wait till the battle is over.
Shout now and give God some praise. Oh, come on and give him glory. Come on and say yes here. I'm so glad that Jesus hung, bled, and died. And I'm so glad that he rose up. Because if it had not been for that, I would still be lost in my sin. If it had not been for that, I'd have my place in hell with the rest of the sinners. Do I have any witnesses? But as long as I have breath, I can say to the Lord, send me, Lord. I'll tell every sinner, I'll tell every saint about the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. When you're down, God can lift you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your issue is, God can lift you up. But when he lifts you, he don't want you to just sit there. He wants you to go do the work. He wants you to say, Lord, send me. I'll go. If you read further, you'll find out the Lord told him, when you go, the people not going to hear you. Their heart's going to be fat. In other words, not be able to penetrate it. Their ears are going to be dull of hearing. They're not going to want to hear you. But Isaiah still said, I'll go. The task will be difficult. But will you go? Will you be encouraged today? Will you be encouraged to say, you know what? God has been so good to me that I can't just sit down on him and not do his work. God has been so good to me that I can't forget all the benefits that I have in God. God has been so good to me that even though Uzziah died, I don't know who Uzziah is in your life, even though the situation looks grim and dim, I believe that God will make a way. I believe that God has already healed, that God has already delivered, that God has already brought me out of the pit and the muck, the miry clay. I got loved ones. Come on, say amen. You may have some loved ones that are down, but God can lift them up too. Is anything impossible for God? Nothing's impossible. He can do exceeding and abundantly and above all we can ask or even think. But we have to see God's sovereignty. Even in the midst of our trouble, we got to see that God is still sovereign. It may not work out the way we want it to work in our mind, but I'm determined that it's working for my good. Because if God said it was, he can't lie. He can't lie. He can make sure that whatever I'm dealing with, that is gonna be favorable for me someday. And I may not understand it, but I'll understand it better by and by. I trust God that no matter how it looks, that he's still with me. That's why David could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil. I don't. Because he's with me. His rod and staff, they comfort me. In the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. Will you see the Lord? High, lifted up. His train filled the temple. Get in the smoke. Stop looking at others. Stop looking at your situation. Get in the presence of God and see him and see yourself and watch God change you and transform you. What happened after this, if you read, Isaiah has a lot of chapters after this. After this encounter, he prophesied of many days. After this encounter, he went through many trials, but he knew that the Lord was on his side. You need to know today that the Lord is on your side. But I ask the question today, whose side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be